The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. I'm seeing the most incredible photos of Jerusalem covered in a blanket of snow. It's exquisite.
20 centimeters apparently fell overnight in Jerusalem.
I mean, that's Canada. That's like Canada.
That is, I don't know, like Canada, but yeah, it certainly could rival Canada on a day like today.
In the middle of summer,
So the mayor has announced that the Jerusalem light rail will not operate until 7 o'clock this morning, so that should be up and running by now. Mm-hmm. Bus services will be very limited. No school today in Jerusalem. People are being asked to stay at home. I know that there was a great deal of preparation getting salt for the roads and trying to clear the main thoroughfares and main highways entrance into Jerusalem. But obviously very, very restricted access in Jerusalem. Quite a lot of snow there and elsewhere around Israel on the Hermon and in the Golan. Storm Elpis has arrived. Definitely quite a lot of rain, windy conditions, and certainly cool temperatures. So it has certainly arrived. You know, I would consider it to be more of kind of a severe cold front rather than a storm worthy of its own name. But we are in the Middle East here, and weather like this is quite extreme and unusual. So it got a name. And yeah, people are being asked just to be cautious. Elsewhere in Israel, obviously very wet, wintry, cool conditions, windy, people are being asked to be careful, and we'll see how that goes. This is the weather's due to persist at least for a few days, and
is more snow expected?
I think there is a little more snow expected over the coming days, certainly cool weather, but I think the bulk, the vast majority of what's been expected fell last night. I'm sure that there will be a lot of people running around to try and take advantage of snowball fights and building snowmen and things like that. And I guess that over the weekend, a lot of people will try to get to the Hermon, obviously, which is where most of the snow in Israel falls and certainly fell last night, skiing conditions. And of course, ultimately, hopefully a bit of water to run into the Kinneret when it will melt. And, let's talk while we're doing little bits and pieces on the subject of space food. And we spoke yesterday about hummus. Today, I'd like to talk about another experiment that will be undertaken by Israel's upcoming astronaut, Eitan Shtiba. Is he an astronaut already, having gone through this training, even though he hasn't been into space? Apparently so.
Yes, he is
working on one of his experiments with a startup company called Aleph Farms. And this is a company that grows meat directly from cattle cells.
It's not vegan. They use cells from.
Correct.
Right.
Mm. Correct. So it actually has meat, let's say, content at its base. I don't know that it's actually considered meaty as such. Fleishik from a kashrut point of view. I read somewhere, I think that it isn't, but you know, don't quote me on that. But apparently this experiment will try to develop a complete process of cultivated meat production for long-term space missions to try to build an efficient production process that reduces the environmental footprint on Earth. So we could see this International Space Station in the future having a chickpea growing area and having a meat growing area, which is a laboratory and which grows meat from cattle cells. And actually, when you look at the Aleph Farms website, they talk about a space program that they've already developed. This is not the first step for them in trying to develop a way of growing their meat from cattle cells in space using the zero gravity and obviously temperature, environment and stuff like that that you find on the International Space Station. And they claim there that it's not only good for space and food in space in the future, but potentially could have an impact on how things are done here on Earth. And quite a lot of interesting write-ups and comments made about the meat that's been grown by Aleph Farms from cattle cells.
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. And all of that taking place in space. Why we needed to grow cells of cattle in space? Well, I suppose Elon Musk might have the answer for that. 7:49, Anthony Rife taking a look at some of the other stories. Turkish president has said that President Herzog will visit Turkey next month. This just gets more and more incredible, this tour.
Yeah, I mean, the story of Turkey is an interesting one, because obviously Israel has had a very tenuous relationship with Turkey since 2008, when that Mavi Marmara incident took place. And those people who took note of the event at the time will recall that Israeli naval patrol boarded a Turkish vessel that had tried to break the Gaza blockade. Mm-hmm. There were people killed. There were people injured. It wasn't a pretty affair. And ever since then, the relationship with Turkey has been tenuous, to say the least. The last time an Israeli president visited Turkey was back in 2007. President Shimon Peres visited Ankara at the time. The current Turkish president Erdogan was the prime minister. So he hosted President Peres at the time, together with the then Turkish president. And now an official announcement from the Turkish president saying that President Isaac Herzog, who, by the way, will be traveling, as we know, to the United Arab Emirates on Sunday, will apparently also visit Turkey sometime next month. And it's interesting that Erdogan has really come out making very, very positive statements about work that he's doing with Israeli officials, trying somehow to play up and improve the atmosphere between Israel and Turkey. And this may well be the start of a new chapter in the relationship between Israel and Turkey. Up until now, it hasn't gone so well. The Turks have seemed to have turned more eastward and more towards Iran, more towards Russia over the intervening decade, when things haven't been quite so cozy with Israel. And they also have had some friction with the US administrations over that time. Now a real effort, a real noticeable effort to try and reach out to Israel, and I think through Israel as well to the US administration. I think that may well be at least one of the intentions behind Erdogan reaching out to Israel. In the meantime, he's been pretty nasty and said some quite horrific things about Israel. He hasn't held back on his criticism and on his negative comments about Israel over the intervening time. All of a sudden, it's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde situation. He's turned a new page. He's inviting President Herzog. The Israeli president's office has not confirmed or denied that this visit will take place. My bets are that it probably will, knowing the fact that President Herzog has tried and continues to try to reach out to improve Israel's diplomatic situation with various countries around the world. And if he sees an opportunity here to build upon a relationship, or to develop and improve a relationship with Turkey, which of course is one of Israel's near neighbors, then I think he would jump upon that opportunity to do that, clearly in conjunction with the government. Erdogan has also mentioned contact that had been made with Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's office at various levels. So it seems that we might well be on the verge of a brand new era in relations between Israel and Turkey over the coming months.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. Absolutely brilliant indeed. Israel's teachers' union has called for a wildcat strike today to protest the new COVID rules for school children. What is going on with this?
So in the meantime, the Labour Court has intervened overnight and has prevented the teachers from going on strike today. So it is school as usual for all pupils, except of course for those in Jerusalem who are not going to school because of the weather. Mm-hmm. But there seems to be a little bit of kind of dirty play going on in the playground of the teachers' union, foilishtik, as they like to call it in Israel, a little bit of stuff going on. And the reason behind the strike builds up as follows. As we discussed yesterday, the Prime Minister's office and indeed the Ministry of Education were very enthusiastic about implementing this new plan for children, which will prevent them from having to go into quarantine even if they are not vaccinated and come into direct contact with somebody who has been officially diagnosed as being a carrier of COVID-19. That has been the rule up until now. You're not vaccinated. You've come into contact with somebody. You go into quarantine. You are vaccinated and you've come into contact with somebody and you test negative. Go on with your life. That's been the rule up until now. Mm-hmm. But this has obviously taken a lot of school children out of the system who have been in quarantine because of this numerous contacts that have happened at the schools with so many people carrying, being diagnosed with COVID-19. So many children have gone into quarantine. And so they've decided that it's become so disruptive to, for the school system that the Prime Minister and the Minister of Education were very enthusiastic about implementing the new rule. Twice weekly tests, Sunday and Wednesday, all school children get tested. Those with negative tests come to school. Those with positive tests stay home. That's the new plan, and the new plan has gone into action today. The problem is that the Ministry of Health is very much opposed to this plan, at least for now, because they still are worried about the fact that COVID-19 has longer-term effects on children, even those who are asymptomatic at the time that they have the virus. And so they don't want to expose children who are not vaccinated to more COVID than they need to be exposed. And so the Ministry of Health has been very much opposed to this new plan. And it seems as if, though, officials from the Ministry of Health have got together with the teachers union and said, how about you guys go on strike and let's prevent the new plan from coming into action? That's at least what the press is saying, that there's been this little dirty trick behind the scenes to somehow try to prevent the Prime Minister's office and the Ministry of Education from implementing their new plan. And it was the Ministry of Health and the teachers union that got together yesterday to say, how about the teachers call a wildcat strike, which was announced yesterday? That strike now will not go ahead. And the court has intervened overnight and said no strike today. So it's business as usual at all Israel schools and new testing regime. That's the new plan at the moment. It's going to be very fascinating to see how this one pans out. And of course, we won't really know about the longer term effects until much later, because we're still waiting to understand exactly what longer term impact there might well be. I know that there have been some studies over the last couple of years, but the question is whether that's enough in order for us to understand what the longer term impact of having contracted COVID might be.
Yeah, and the problem with this whole thing is that within a few months when we do understand it, then we get all judgy on what we decided to do when we didn't understand it. And
true.
I think it's going to be a real lesson, or it's a real lesson for us all, is not to judge actions during a pandemic on knowledge that we didn't have that we currently do have.
I think it's easy for us now to look back 2 years and say, how come it is that we went into such dramatic lockdown over one or two or three cases, four cases here or there? Why didn't we behave like we're behaving today? And I think your point is correct, that people need always to remember that the knowledge base at that time was different.
100%.
And the response, the situation, the whole circumstances were entirely different. It's very difficult for us to remember that. It's sort of a little bit like what's going on with this Snow White movie right now, where people are saying, well, a movie that was produced in 1937 should have taken into consideration all the current wokey ideas about who and what and where in society. Well, I mean, things were different then, and the movie was appropriate and it stood the test of time then. And the same is true of, you know, what we're trying to do on the COVID front.
Absolutely right. Final thing that I wanted to discuss with you this morning is that China has become Israel's largest source of imports.
And this took me somewhat by surprise, because I know that we've been building up relationships with China over the years. That, you know, has been clear. There's been a lot of controversy over Israel's relationship with China. But quietly during 2021, China became Israel's largest source of imports, surpassing the United States. Not just surpassing the United States, quite significantly surpassing the United States. And last year, according to the report that I've read, $10.7 billion worth of goods were imported from China, as opposed to $7.7 billion in the previous year. So a massive 40% increase year on year on imports from China, whereas the United States had imports, we had imports from the US of about 8.2 billion. So it really jumped over the US in a massive way, not insignificantly. And so, you know, the cynics amongst us say, well, what has happened that we're suddenly importing so much stuff from China? Maybe it's all to do with AliExpress and the fact that, you know, people in Israel like to order so many things from AliExpress. And that sounds like a somewhat cynical view, because the stuff that we're ordering from AliExpress costs $5 and $10 and $15. And it doesn't seem likely that that could be the result that could result in such a massive increase in the exports from China. But here you'd be surprised, because in fact, the largest single import that Israel has from China is electrical and electronic equipment. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that we've managed to import $1.2 billion worth of electrical and electronic equipment all from AliExpress. But I would imagine that the liking that Israelis have for the items that Ali offers has certainly contributed towards this massive increase in the imports from China. Very, very controversial indeed, because as we know, the US has been working against China in significant ways. They have this standoff situation with China. They've tried to impose that standoff situation on Israel to some degree, saying to Israel that we shouldn't get too close to China, particularly in terms of importing goods from goods and services from China. The Chinese have become very, very interested in investing in Israeli technology, also very interested in operating harbors, like the Haifa port, for example. The Chinese concern was very interested in getting involved in operating that. The US government was wholly opposed to Israel taking up on that. But here we go. This is just evidence of the fact that Israel and China are really improving in their, at least in their trading relations. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Really will be interesting to see where it goes from there. Anthony Rach, it is 8 o'clock. Thank you as always. Thanks for a great week of Israel reporting. We'll catch you on Monday. Wishing you a warm weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll speak to you next week.